Blog Talk Radio.
Desert speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I hope that you are going to join me in just a few hours and celebrate the beginning of a new year. There's only a few hours left in 2018, and I hope and pray that you've had a good new year and that you're looking forward to a brand new year in 2019. It's been an incredible year here for me on the cross in the desert. Just the privilege and the opportunity to be a voice for Iranians every Monday is just a gift from God, from me to you. It's been an incredible writing year, 3 books published, and I'm just so excited about the latest book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, which is co-authored with my dear Iranian friend Manoush. I'm so excited at the potential that this book has to impact the world. Just recently, in fact, on Christmas Day, my dear friend Manoush had an exciting sit-down Skype interview with Voice of America Farsi, and I've been sharing this video on my Facebook pages, and of course, it's in Farsi. So I said to Manoush, I said, look, we have to find a way to communicate with my radio audience what you said. And so she went ahead and translated from Farsi to English, and I'll be reading that to you a little bit later. But God is opening up some incredible doors for us to talk about our book. This Sunday, we have a special Skype interview with an Iranian journalist named Hamid, and he lives in the UK, and he writes for the Daily Caller, which is a phenomenal internet media website, prominent in Washington and all over the world. It was actually originated and started by Tucker Carlson, who is a prominent host of his own program on the Fox News Network. So we're really looking forward to this Skype interview this Sunday. Our whole goal with this new publication is to saturate the main media, to get the stories of the suffering Iranian people out there in the mainstream media, it's not reported on enough. It's largely been very silent in so many places. And so our goal with this interview this Saturday in particular, or Sunday, excuse me, is to talk about the need for the stories of the Iranian people to be prominent in the mainstream media on a regular basis. And so that's going to be what we're going to talk about this Sunday with our good friend Hamid. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to focus in on a topic that is near and dear to my heart. It is the suppression and censorship of music in Iran. One of the featured stories in our new book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, is the story of Mehdi Rejabian. He is a phenomenal artist who recently put together an album or a CD project entitled Middle East. There are a total of 12 musicians collaborating with him on this CD project, but the Iranian government won't let him free to travel outside of Iran. They won't let him go to awards ceremonies that he should be able to go to, recognizing his new CD, Middle East. They forbid him to travel outside of Iran to participate in these awards ceremonies, to play his music. So today's program in particular is going to be dedicated to Mehdi Rejabian, specifically because he is one of so many artists and musicians that have to go underground in Iran because of the suppression and censorship of music. And so I want you to think about Mehdi today as we do this program and support him in his decision to keep producing music in spite of the government, and support him that he should have the right to travel outside of Iran, the right to play his music, the right to receive recognition and awards for his talent. And so that's what we're going to do today on The Cross in the Desert. I want to begin the broadcast with a song, since we're talking about the suppression and censorship of music. This is an activist-type song. It's written by Matt Redman, who's a contemporary Christian artist. This song is a cry. It is a summons to the government of Iran. It's like what God said to Pharaoh through Moses: let my people go. Thousands of years ago, God heard the cries of the Hebrew people in bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt. He sent Moses and Aaron, and Moses was said to tell Pharaoh, this is what God is saying: let my people go. I want to dedicate this song today to Mehdi and all the musician and artist friends of mine who are in bondage in Iran. And this is a summons to Khomeini and to the mullahs: let my people go. Incredible worship music of Matt Redman. It's a summons. It's a decree. Khomeini, let my people go. Let these musicians and artists display and honor God with their talents. Music is a universal language. I'm a musician. I play guitar. I write songs. It is a beautiful way to communicate thoughts and ideas and beliefs and set them to music. And it's a way to proclaim. It's entertainment. It's something that people enjoy. They hear music through the ear gate, and all kinds of images come to your mind when you listen to music. Music it expresses love. It expresses beliefs. It is a universal language. And so you might be asking the question, why in Iran is there such a law against this, such a suppression and censorship? Well, it's not hard to really answer that question. It's been contested in Iran since the onslaught or the onset of Islam in the 7th century. Remember when the Persian Empire was invaded by Islam in the 7th century? Muhammad and his companions sought to keep men's minds away from what they call mahalali, that is, forbidden pleasures. They wanted to keep men away from wine, women, and song. What a bunch of hypocrites. While the Quran actually doesn't condemn music per se, it claims that music can lead to a loss of reason, resulting in uncontrollable behavior and an inflammation of passions. So this is why one of the main reasons there's such a censorship of music. The hadith, which is the teachings and the sayings of Muhammad, says listening to music leads to discord, just as water leads to the growth of vegetation. And so this is one of the reasons why music is suppressed. It is a moral code established by the Hadiths, by the Islamic people, and this is why you have this great suppression of music. Now, of course, the Islamic Revolution in 1979 and the end of the Shah dynasty, which was largely secular, if you well remember your history, brought dramatic reform, new power constellations, and a purge of any outside influence, particularly Western influence. The new theocratic regime sought to centralize its control over Iranian society and culture. During the revolution in 1979, Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini told the Kayan, that's Iran's major conservative daily newspaper, quote, "Music is like a drug. Whoever acquires the habit can no longer devote himself to important activities. We must completely eliminate it." Well, in the course of the politicization of Islamic theology, the regime brought all public music to a halt. Systematic measures were designed to officially suppress Islam-incompatible music. Concerts were banned, and those who attended or performed in concerts or music festivals prior to the revolution were interrogated. Music ceased to be broadcast. Music schools were closed, and the symphony orchestra, ballet troupe, and opera company were disbanded. The ban was so severe that Revolutionary Guards were reported to have organized raids in small villages to collect and even destroy musical instruments. This is what the Islamic Revolution has done to the music, to the artists, to the filmmakers who do not comply 100% with what the government says. I'm going to go back to the archives here. The New York Times, this is an article, July 24th, 1979, by John Kiffner. And I want to read to you this article, again, going back to the revolution, why the suppression and the censorship of music. Ayatollah Khomeini banned all music from Iranian radio and television yesterday because he said it is no different from opium. Music, the 79-year-old revolutionary leader said, stupefies persons listening to it and makes their brain inactive and frivolous. Ayatollah Khomeini called for the ban at an audience with employees of Radio Dara, which broadcasts in the summer to the Caspian coast, according to the news agency reports from Iran. Music thus joined alcoholic drinks, most referenced movie, and the practice of men and women swimming or sunbathing together as artifacts of the previous satanic regime that will not be tolerated under the Islamic Republic. So again, the reasoning is if you have music, you're going to have alcohol, and then you're going to have men and women swimming, sunbathing together, and doing things they shouldn't do, and that's not going to be tolerated under the new Islamic Republic. The revolutionary government also adopted a new press code for foreign correspondents that prohibits them from traveling outside Tehran without permission and from interviewing Iranians without the presence of a representative of the Ministry of National Guidance, saying that musical program had corrupted Iranian youth and robbed them of their strength and virility. If you want independence for your country, the Ayatollah says, you must suppress music and not fear to be called old-fashioned. Music is a betrayal of the nation and of youth. So what the problem here is really big. Iran has a history of Persian music. Music appears to occupy an ambiguous position in Islamic culture. Instrumental music was forbidden by Islamic orthodoxy, although they had the use of drums that were allowed on special occasions like weddings. Nevertheless, in the Islamic culture, vocal and instrumental forms of music were cultivated, especially at the courts of caliphs and princes, and even later by the Sufi orders. Shah Abbas I, who ruled from 1587 to 1629 and built the king's mosque in Isfahan, regarded as one of the most beautiful in Iran, had an upper story hall in his nearby palace lined with hollow wooden acoustical compartments so he could listen to the forbidden music without being heard outside. This is absolutely egregious. Again, there is a history of Persian music, beautiful Persian music. As I said before, this program is dedicated to Mehdi Rajabian. He is an artist whose guitar has been taken by the Iranian government. He's a wonderful artist with a sitar. They have suppressed his voice because the Iranian regime is afraid of his musical abilities. Mehdi is currently banned from traveling and cannot perform his music. He wants to participate in international awards for his music album, but he does not have the right to leave Iran. He wants to be seen and work for the art that he so wonderfully has developed. His musical album is to be seen globally. What should he do? The Iranian government has taken him hostage inside the country and confiscated everything. Art is a crime in Iran, and the artist must be choked. So what I'm asking you to do is to go to my Instagram. You will see a video I've made in honor of Mehdi. His girlfriend Nazanin has posted it on her website. Go and click like on it. Support him. Support Mehdi Rajabian. There's also a video on my page. I'm going to upload it again so you can click and support this great artist. He has put together a project called Middle East. It is a CD that needs to be heard globally. It involves 12 other musicians. Some of the songs were composed by refugees traveling. One was inside of a boat in the Aegean Sea. These are dedicated artists who are standing up for human rights in the Middle East, and they need our prayers and they need our support. The article about Mehdi Rajabian, Music is a Crime in Iran, is featured in our latest book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. I want you to hear just a couple of quotes from Mehdi. Mehdi says, as a composer, I felt that it's time to protest against the human rights violations in the Middle East with music. In my opinion, the Middle East people are tired of human rights violations, and the only way I could bring all voices of all Middle Eastern countries in a single common shouting was through music. And this is what you're going to hear on his CD, Middle East. You can read his story in our book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. As I've mentioned to you earlier, my dear friend Manoush had an incredible interview on Christmas Day with Voice of America Farsi. And I've posted this on my Instagram, on my Facebook pages, on my Praying for the Persecuted Church page. And it's in Farsi. Now, most of my Iranian friends have no problem watching the interview and hearing everything that Manoush had to say. But I asked her, I want to talk to my radio audience this morning about this subject. Can you please translate for me? And so she's done so. Urge you to watch the video. Even though you may not know the language, it's so well put together. Voice of America put together a very nice package so that you can understand, even if you don't know the language, what they're talking about. So this is the translation of the video interview that Manoush had on Voice of America on December 25th. Here we go. Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran is a new book about human rights in Iran and concerns social, religious, political, and artistic suppressions. It is a result of investigating and researching the issue of human rights abuse, which is co-written by Manoush Bakhtiari, human rights activist who lives in Sweden, and Randy Noble, American author, radio producer, and Iran's human rights activist. Their book has been published for a few days in the United States now. Manoush Bakhtiari, one of the writers of the book, says, quote, the purpose of this book is to play the role of the voice of the suppressed in Iran. We decided to write this book in order to be the voice of those whose authorship and voice are proscribed and suppressed by Iranian government and have been subjected to significant injustice. This book has been divided into different parts, and each part represents the fate of many certain imprisoned human rights activists, such as Atna Daemi and Golrak Iyari, ideological activists such as Fatima Mohammadi, social activists such as Sholi Pakravan, and artists like Mehdi Rajabian. In fact, the book familiarizes both Iranian and non-Iranian readers with human rights abuses in Iran in terms of systematic and expansive suppressions. Both writers of the book assert that many of us might not have heard of such tragic fates until now. And now this book, which is the product of Manoush Bakhtiari and Randy Noble's concern about human rights, is available for the readers and is regarded as another proof of what is happening in modern Iran for the next generations. So this is a translation of what Manoush said during this interview with Voice of America. Thank you so much. I'm so proud of you, Manoush, for taking the time out of your busy life to have this really important interview with Voice of America. What I want to do right now is I want to feature one artist, one Iranian artist. Her name is Saba Motalabi. She's playing the sitar. This is the instrument that Mehdi Rajabian plays. I was unable to find some examples of Mehdi's music on the internet, so I want to feature someone who is a good artist as well. She's playing the sitar, and I want you to hear the beauty of this instrument that is being censored and suppressed in Iran. Let's listen. That is the beautiful talents of Saba Motalabi, playing the sitar, an instrument that Mehdi Rajabian also plays so well, so eloquently. And I wanted to feature that instrument this morning. What a beautiful instrument. It's similar to the acoustic guitar. It has a beautiful, mesmerizing sound. And this is the talent that Mehdi Rajabian and many other Iranians have that's being challenged and suppressed and censored in Iran. What I want you to do is to share this radio link today, to also watch the special video that I've made in honor of Mehdi. Share it with your friends. Support this man. He needs to have the right to leave Iran, to play his instrument, to receive the awards that he should get for his project, to travel the world. And this is a horrible crime against humanity in Iran. Music is a crime. And our job here, our responsibility here on the Cross in the Desert, is to be a voice for the voiceless, to support and to pray for these Iranian people that don't have the freedoms that you and I have every day and take so much for granted for. On this last half an hour of the broadcast today, I want to talk to you from the heart, from the Book of Psalms, which is Hebrew poetry really set to music, since music is the theme on the broadcast today. I want to teach you today from one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 139, and I want to help you discover in this psalm, this beautiful psalm, about the God who intimately knows you and me, who intimately cares about every detail of our life. Before we do that, I want you to hear from an incredible Christian artist, Mercy Me, talking about this beautiful psalm. It's Psalm 139.
You search me and you know me, familiar with all my ways, and you have placed your hand upon me, such knowledge I can't attain. If I made my bed in the depths, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I sail on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will hold me fast. Even there you love me.
the great worship music of Mercy Me, reflecting on the beauty of Psalm 139 about the God who intimately knows us and cares for us. I want to talk to you about this beautiful psalm this morning as we close out 2018. And I want to talk to you from a book I wrote several years ago entitled Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara. Tara is in search of her missing brother, who disappeared on his circumnavigation attempt in his sailboat only a year earlier. He disappeared. Feared dead, feared killed in a squall or a storm. And Tara is determined to find out what happened to him. But Tara is also on a personal spiritual journey herself. And out in her sailboat, the Mistral Wind, you have to picture this. It's a beautiful starlit night. She's just crossed the equator. The weather has been severely hot, melting hot. And somehow in the evening, as Mistral Wind makes its way past the equator, the temperatures have cooled down. And Tara is on this boat all alone by herself on a solo circumnavigation of the world. And it has everything to do with Psalm 139. And so I'm reading to you today from my book, Driven by the Wind. The stars in the sky were glistening like tiny diamonds, illuminating the heavens all around Tara. The ocean was calm and glassy and unusually quiet tonight. Mistral Wind was gliding through the waves at a comfortable 6 knots. The equator was 50 miles behind her now. The sometimes violent and challenging Cape Horn was 5,000 nautical miles away. Tara knew she would have to be prepared for the next important landmark and phase of her voyage. But tonight, all Tara wanted to do was relax and stare up at the night sky and dream. Sitting cross-legged on the deck, Tara picked up her acoustic guitar and began to strum to the quiet rhythm of Mistral Wind gently bouncing in the glassy night ocean. The night sky was mesmerizing and beautiful. It had been an extremely hot day, but tonight everything was much different. A cool breeze brushed through Tara's reddish-brown hair as she quietly strummed her guitar. There were a few clouds obscuring the brilliant light of the full moon. Tara leaned back up against the cabin windows and stared into the night sky in awe and wonder. She paused, taking a quick gulp of distilled water, and then closed her eyes. Aside from a few minor incidents with a whale and a couple of small squalls, the voyage had been nearly perfect so far. As Mistral Wind cruised ahead, the ominous glow of the moon found its way through a doorway in the clouds and splashed its white light down into the ocean. Tara laid her guitar down and took a deep breath. She was in a calm and relaxed mood without a care in the world tonight. It was a perfect night for reading. She had been thinking of her best friend Scott and missing the unique conversations they had shared together. The only way she felt that she could connect with him out here, all alone in the vast ocean, was to give the Bible she was so skeptical of another chance. She knew how much Scott believed and trusted the Bible. Tonight, Tara was in a rare and relaxed mood, so she decided to give Scott's Bible just one more chance. As a child, she remembered her dad used to read the Psalms to her. Tara remembered enjoying the Psalms because they had such a poetic tone to them. She opened up to the Psalms in the Bible and skimmed through the pages, until one psalm caught her attention. She leaned forward toward the direction of the moonlight and began to read. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Tara stopped reading and reflected on what the psalm was claiming. I don't feel very comfortable about someone knowing everything about me, Tara protested, thinking out loud. That makes me feel violated and vulnerable. Excuse me. Tara gazed back down at the psalm. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there, your hand will guide me. Tara closed the Bible and sighed with frustration. You know everything? Tara whispered in a sarcastic tone. You know my thoughts before I think them? The words of the psalm spoke intimately to Tara's heart, but she felt angry and confused. She leaned her head back and gazed up into the night sky once again. If you know everything, God, then why don't you tell me what happened to Nathan? Why do you let me sit here and go through this pain and agony? Tara leaned forward. The majesty and magic of the calm, relaxing night had suddenly vanished. Tara's quiet, reflective mood had been transformed into a mood of question, asking, and despair. Tara's world of the wind and the waves had been rudely interrupted by a few verses from the Bible. This is why, God, I am who I am. A free spirit, Tara said in a complaining tone. Tara took a quick gulp of water and leaned her head back again. I don't like anyone to know everything about me, God. I feel much safer and much more secure in my own world. Tara stood up and grabbed her guitar and the Bible. It had been a very exciting and adventurous day. Tara would try to sleep tonight and forget about all of her unanswered questions until tomorrow. Reading to you from my book, Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara. Tara is a free spirit. She likes her sacred space. She doesn't want people intruding into her sacred space, and that includes God himself. Was it that was so offensive and so violating to Tara about Psalm 139? It's because here is a psalm that shares the heart of God for humanity. It is about the God who intimately knows us. And for the free spirit, the one who is the captain of their own world, they like their privacy. They like their sacred space. They don't want something or someone to intrude. I want you to listen to the beauty of this psalm. And if you're someone like Tara, instead of feeling violated and feeling pressured, cornered, or challenged, instead, invite this God into your heart, because he intimately knows you. He cares about every detail of your life. Oh Lord, the psalmist writes, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit up or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the darkness shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point everything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. This wonderful, beautiful psalm is the story of a God who intimately loves us, intimately knows us, who is intimately concerned with every single detail of our life. The beauty of his attributes shine in this psalm, his omnipresence, which teaches that God is everywhere in the presence of his person. His omniscience, that is, that God knows everything. There is nothing that he does not know about. He is the all-knowing, ever-present God. And the psalmist says in Psalm 46, our God is a very present help in our time of need. He is present with his people. Unto the children of Israel crossing the desert after the great exodus from Egypt, he was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He was with his people through every situation that they encountered. And this psalm is a praise for the God who intimately knows us. But you see, Tara, as a free spirit, feels threatened by this psalm. Why? Because as a free spirit, she wants to run her own life. She wants to take charge of her own life. She wants to be in control of her own, of her life. And with a God who knows everything about her, even the thoughts that she's thinking and even the words that she speaks before she speaks them, he knows them, that threatens her. Why? You see, sin has darkened our love and our understanding of God. Sin has thwarted, it has corrupted the very character of God in our thinking. Instead of envisioning a majestic, great, and loving God, sin says that this God wants to control you and be a dictator. And that is how sin has corrupted the true character of God. Instead of being a dictator and someone who controls our life, our God gives us tremendous freedom. He puts supreme value on us as human beings. And in this psalm, he is saying to you and me, I am always with you. You can go to the farthest corner of the earth, to the deepest pit, and I am the God of love who is with you in the darkness, who is with you in the trial, who will strengthen and sustain you. I am the God that takes care of every detail of your life that is there for you when you need me. He is the God that loves us and knows us intimately. But Tara can't have that. Tara is under the illusion that if she were to surrender her heart to God, that she would have no freedom. But later on in this story, there's a scene where God reveals to her that the very joy of sailing, the very exhilaration she has of sailing, that he put that desire and that experience in her heart because he wants her to experience the joy and the freedom of sailing, which is no comparison to the joy and the freedom that he has for her when she surrenders her heart and life to him. Do you feel like Tara? Do you somehow feel threatened by a God who knows everything about you? This same God knew you before you were even born. It says that he made the delicate inner parts of your body. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. And this psalm, again, shows that the human fetus is a person at conception, that there is no justification for taking the life of an innocent preborn child, because God says this preborn child, however small it might be, is a person. Psalm 139 is not only a celebration of the presence of God and the power of God's presence, but the personhood of the preborn baby. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, David says, as I was woven together in the dark of my mother's womb. You saw me before I was even born. This is a psalm that celebrates the personhood of that tiny child and says to a culture of utter convenience to take that child because it's not convenient for me at this time. It stands up against that act of murder, saying, this is a child, this is a person. This is not some ugly glob or fetus. It is a person created in the beautiful image of God. Psalm 139 is about that too. Every day of our lives are recorded in your book, God says. Every moment's laid out. As you've listened to the words of this psalm this morning, you get a sense of really how great our God is. He is a God that is intimately concerned about every detail of your life. He intimately knows you, and therefore he knows the pressures. He understands the pain, the heartache, the rejection. He understands all of the feelings you have at this very moment. And he is the God that not only intimately knows these feelings and these thoughts, but he is the God that ultimately wants to bring healing and restoration and wholeness to you. And so today, if these words from Psalm 139 have touched your heart and given you a vision of a God who intimately loves and cares for you, come to him. And Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. This God invites you. He never forces you. He doesn't conquer you by the sword. He invites you to come into his arms of love and to know him in a personal and intimate way. Because the beauty of this psalm describes the beauty of a love relationship you can have with God through Jesus. I want to thank every one of you that supported my radio program, The Cross in the Desert, this year of 2018. I thank you for your love, your support, and your prayers. And please join me in the new year as I commit myself to again be a voice for the Iranian people. I ask for your prayers and your support, and I ask for you to reach out today and support our dear friend Mehdi Rajabian in Iran, who desires with all of his heart to share his talent, to play his guitar, and to go all over the world to bless audiences with his music. Please support and stand with him. I want to wish every one of you a fantastic Happy New Year. God bless you. I will see you next year in the cross in the desert.
You search me and you know me. Familiar with all my ways. And you have placed your hand upon me. Such knowledge I can't attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I made my bed in the depths, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I sail on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will hold me fast, even there your hand will guide me, 'cause you are there. You are. If I made my bed in the depths, if I go up to heaven, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I sail on the far side of the sea, and even there your hand will hold me fast, even there. I will sing.